Hey, peoples, this is the Conspiracy Oz podcast. I'm your host, Mick Raven. It is Friday, the 26th of January, 2024. This is a review covering alternative news and events. You can call +61 02 8006 1918 anytime. Drop me an email at conspiracyoz@protonmail.com. Go to the website conspiracyoz.com. Download the podcast from iTunes, Spotify, or podomatic.com. Get with the D program. Well, people, I am doing it on Friday, not Tuesday or Wednesday or even Thursday. I'm actually doing it on Friday because obviously in Australia, we've got Australia Day. Okay, so we had the day off. So I thought I'm going to reserve the podcast for Friday, do a little bit of a talk on Australia Day. I've done this many times in the past, but it seems to be coming to a head in Australia where a lot of people, not just political parties, but people in general, are calling for a change. Well, I've got an idea for that change. This is my take on the globalists would like to call divide and conquer, because they're pitting one lots of people against another lot, and they're ignoring the actual perpetrators of the problems on the planet, which are the globalist elite, the richest people on the planet, that have their will done. And their will at the moment is depopulate. So that's why I do the podcast. That's why I'm trying to let people know who the real perpetrators of evil on the planet are. And they're not accountable to anybody. Okay, so unless we call that out, there's no point in pointing the finger to each other and going, well, Captain Cook came to Australia and he just wrecked it. He started Invasion Day instead of Australia Day. And so they just pit one against the other. You know what I mean? So basically we've taken our eyes off the actual problem, and they've got us divide and conquer, and people fall for it every single time. It works like a dream. It's working like a dream now in Australia. Rallies all over Australia to proclaim that, you know, Australia Day is Invasion Day, in fact. So this is my take on it. It's only a short take. I don't want to dwell too much on it. I will talk a little bit about it, but I've done this in the past, many talks on Australia Day, and it will probably continue. But for a final solution to the problem, people listening, is a prick ready to hear words of wisdom. And I tell you, this would work. But of course, they're never going to do it, but it would work. I always say this about people that are shouting and protesting. Of course, when we had the freedom rallies in Australia, where everyone was protesting against the forced vaccination, they were deemed as the enemy. Evil people. Bad people. Literally hundreds of thousands in Australia protested, but it was virtually ignored and said that the protests were not very big, they were tiny. Yet when 1,000 people got together today on Australia Day to protest against Captain Cook, it was news all over. Words like big crowd, massive crowd. These are the words that was actually used on the ABC because that's what they want you to think. They want you to think, that's the truth. But of course, we know the truth because only a few years ago, people, I had a story up like this. And I'll get to my solution in a minute. But I just got to get through this because, you know, my back gets up a bit when I realize that people don't have a back, that aren't helping real Australians to express their views, which have now been sort of, you know, vindicated. People are now looking and going, why did we get that jab? It didn't actually do anything. It didn't stop the virus, still transmitting it. Why have we actually got the jab? Well, just look at people like Bill Gates that was promoting it. Start to see who the real enemy is, people. Start to understand what has happened to us over the decades and how we've been brought to this position. All right. So I had a story up that I put off. I'm trying to put up. Probably I'm trying to figure out what day it was. And it was the Freedom. There it is. 20th of November, 2021. Not that long ago, people. As a story that went up on news.com.au, and it's got 100. Oh, actually, this isn't their title. This is my title. Then I'll get you their title, because you know what they're going to say, people. My title: 100,000 freedom marches in Sydney today. And I've got, this is November the 20th, 2021. This happened, people, in Sydney. The gloves are off. And it's got worldwide rally for freedom. This actually happened. Together we are free. Only a couple of years ago, people. So they said, and then, of course, the news brought out this. Now, remember, this is 100,000. as opposed to the 1,000 a day that are on the streets to protest Australia Day. And by the way, I think they butchered a Captain Cook statue. I'm not sure on which capital. I'll try and find that story. But they took off his legs, made him legless. Anyway, this is history. They want to rewrite history. They don't want to go back as far as the Romans in Europe and start going after the families of the people of the Romans back then when, you know, in history and start pulling all those statues down. No, no, no. They do it in Australia only because our history isn't that long. So they can sort of half remember it and start pointing the finger at us. And I noticed that most people in those, the 1,000 people march were not even Aboriginal. So you start to wonder, do the Aboriginals really care? And if they do, why isn't there 100,000 Aboriginals marching? And then you understand what's really going on here. This is a divide and conquer thing, people. The globalists want the populations on the lower level to fight amongst themselves. It's so easy to get their eyes off the ball. Anyway, I'll read this one. This is when 100,000 Australians actually got together and said, we're not going to do what the globalists want, because that's really what it was. It wasn't about the government or even the head of the medical board in Australia. No, it was to do with an outside force that was forcing us upon us. That's what it really, really was. Started with the WHO, people like Bill Gates funding it, getting his will through that, and globalists patting themselves on the back going, this is going to be easy, as they ka-chinged all the way to Pfizer. Anyway, this is the story that they put up back then, news.com.au, 20th of November 2021. Thousands of protesters chant and storm the streets for freedom rally. So straight away you hear of the word thousands. There's not 100,000. And storm. These are bad words. These are to make look like they're aggressive. So I'll keep reading. Tens of thousands. Well, now they're getting a little bit closer to it. Of anti-vax mandate and COVID rule protesters. So they've already labelled them. They're not humans anymore. They're anti-vax mandate COVID rule protesters have descended across Australia as authorities prepare for the possibility of a clash with a counter rally. So there you go. So straight away, they look like the bad people coming into protest. It says a series of freedom rallies planned for Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, Perth, Adelaide and Hobart began on 12 p.m. on Saturday with massive crowds taking the streets. Well, they can't tell a lie. If you actually look at the photos, there's no way they can say, no, there's a couple of hundred there. You can actually see it. Yet when they filmed today, the 1,000 people protesting for the end of Australia Day, they made it so that you couldn't see beyond the borders of probably a few hundred people. They wouldn't let you see that it was a small crowd. Anyway, and it's got here, in Melbourne, chanting demonstrators, chanting, waving Australian flags and kill the bill placards marched towards Bourke Street into the city. Meanwhile, anti-fascist protesters. So here we go. They want to mix in the anti-vax with the anti-fascist. This is what happened. I don't even remember when they were calling them Antifa, which is anti-fascist. And they became this movement that would fight against fascism, but then they became militant. And this is what happened. Then they lost their way and they became against any form of protest. These people would protest against them. It got ridiculous. They put black clothes on and covered up their faces because, you know, around that time you were wearing masks. Big deal. So it says here, and they thought the two would clash and fight. And it says authorities were concerned the situation could escalate if the two protests collide. So, of course, it says, and remember, the Antifa were allowed to protest. This is another thing that happened, people. The anti-vaxxers were not. They were told they couldn't protest, but the anti-fascists were allowed to. And they became fascists in their own rights just by the way they dictated how they did their protest. Anyway, I'll read on. And it says here, a significant police presence is at the scene and the riot squad is reportedly ready to be called in if required. It says, we respect people's right to peacefully protest without impact on the rest of the community and will not tolerate anyone who breaks the law or engages in violent or antisocial behaviour. Victoria Police said in a statement, this is the very police force that attacked journalists and people like that in the crowds documenting the freedom protest rallies at the time. As an instance, you can remember that Avi from Rebel News was attacked. His cameraman, I saw it. You can find this stuff online very easily. Attacked his cameraman and knocked him down. So this is where the police are saying, well, we don't like violence, but unless we do it. And you start to think there's something really wrong with society at the moment, where the police are all in black. They've got the caps on and the big jack boots. And you start thinking, and they look like that all around the world. And you start thinking something's happened. Something has changed. And it has. The police have been militarized. They now mix in with the army. And it's very hard to tell them apart. That's it. I mean, there's sirens in the background right now as I am doing this podcast. And I've heard sirens all day on Australia Day, probably about 20 times going up and down the main road. And I'd like to say, just in my defense of arguing, you know, complaining about sirens, because people might be saying, well, there could be an event. You really shouldn't complain. You can hear that one. But yes, there's never anything ever reported. And I can hear these sirens at 2 in the morning when there are no cars on the road. And they still do it. And you start to think, what is actually going on? And then you start realising, this isn't just today. This is every day. And then you start thinking there's something seriously wrong on the planet, especially where I am, where you continually hear the fear factor of, you know, stay inside, be fearful. I mean, I can hear them again. You know, I was actually thinking to myself when I start the podcast, I wonder if the sirens will be on it so I can mention them. Can you hear that one? It's ridiculous, people. Absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, that's just my take on it. There's no event happening on the northern beaches where I am. You never hear anything about anything that's happened when the fire engines run past in the rain, or you see the police with 5 cars driving ridiculously fast and you see the same 5 driving down the main highway the other way. You start to wonder what is actually happening in the world. Of course, when the ambulance goes past, well, I think, well, that's COVID, isn't it? The vaccine, of course. Anyway, reading up, just to finish up this article, it's got outspoken anti-vax Instagrammer Marina Z told the Melbourne audience that Victoria's pandemic laws were part of a coordinated plan to control individuals. She's actually right. She's from Z Media. I know who that is. And she says, it's never been about health. It's about control, she shouted. And she's actually right. The whole pandemic thing was an exercise in quality control, which is a QR, quality control, the QR programming, where they got you to use your phone and be dictated to on when and where you can go somewhere. That's what they were trialing and in the whole pandemic. The actual jabbing was obviously to control people and the slow kill. But it was never meant to be an instant cure worldwide. They know they can't do that in real time. And it would have fell on its face straight away, okay? No, they wanted it to be a gradual sort of, what's that word where they do gradualism? It's like, well, that's it. Like, it's the Fabian way. They wanted to make sure they could do this slowly to get people to believe it, which a lot of people have. They're up to their 5th jab, 6th jab. There are people out there that totally believe it. But there are more people sitting on the fence now than there were before. Now that the emergency madness has passed, people can gather their thoughts and say, well, hang on, why did we do that? And would I do that again? And that's the question you need to ask yourself, because that it is going to happen again. Okay, it's not a prediction, people. It's definite. This is coming again. That was just a precursor. Gates has already said pandemic 2 is coming. So get ready. It's going to be even harder than the first one. But you've got to stand. You've got to hold your ground, people, because this is a world-changing thing that's happening. These globalists are not mucking around, people. Okay, they're not mucking around. If they wanted you to buy their products, they would continue as normal, but they're not. They don't care about that. They want to collapse the economies and get rid of people. Okay, that's the goal now. Anyway, reading on to finish off that article, it's got, in Sydney, crowds gather with Australian flags and signs at Hyde Park. Remember, this is not Australia Day at that time. It was November, 3 years ago now. It says, in Sydney, crowds gathered. Oh, that's got, I read that bit. It's got, demonstrators could be seen chanting freedom before joining together to sing the national anthem. They later repeatedly chanted, sack them all. It says, one protester who spoke in front of a large crowd could be heard saying that they had taken back Sydney. And it's got, New South Wales police has been on high alert and have encouraged motorists to avoid the CBD area. And they've got a picture there too, and I can see him, the Aussie Cossack. He's in the photo, one of the photos. And I'll read on and see if they mention him. But it says he's very anti-police. He's been arrested a few times. He's actually, you can find him online on YouTube, Aussie Cossack. He's actually almost like a conspiracy theorist slash comedian. And he's brilliant. And a lot of the stuff he talks about is right on the ball. But go and check him out. But anyway, it says, Organisers of the Sydney rally claim more than 100,000 demonstrators were in attendance. And if you look at the photos, people, you're not going to dispute it. It's really big. It says, following a rendition of Waltzing Matilda, and then it's got, wait for this, instead of MP Craig Kelly, it's got rogue MP Craig Kelly. You've got to remember the words they drop into these things to make you think a certain way. Made the wild claim, there it is again, wild claim, that vaccine mandates were equivalent to living in a prison camp. No, he was actually right. In retrospect now, when you look back, how could we have actually done what we did? But we did it. In Australia, we bent over and we took it. Okay? And he's got, and he's saying, if you live in a place where you only have your freedom given to you in exchange for some type of good behavior, you do not live in a free society. You live in a prison camp, he told the crowd. And it's got, the latest rallies come after Melbourne became the site of anti-government protests this week as crowds occupied the front steps of the Victorian Parliament to demonstrate against the state's proposed pandemic laws. It says the bill has since been stalled in the upper house as the state government attempts to shore up support with key crossbenchers after the former Labor MP Adam, it looks like Sumurek, vowed to vote against the legislation. Demonstrators last weekend wheeled out makeshift gallows with nooses attached. And that was for Daniel Andrews, the Premier. That actually happened. They got pictures of the crowds there with I do not consent, freedom. This is it, people. This really happened 2 years ago. And a lot of people are trying to put it behind them and forget. Like, nah, never happened in Australia. Not like that. Now, and here we go. The ugly scenes. There you go. Prompted a fierce back and forth between the nation's political leaders, with Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews, who's since done a runner, accusing Scott Morrison, who's also done a runner, of doublespeak to pander to the voters. So I'm not going to read any more, but you can see straight away, people, the crowds are massive, okay? So anyway, and we had the no vote in Australia, which a lot of people voted no, but still on Australia Day, just for a story, they'll run these Australia Day protests to say, you know, maybe we shouldn't have Australia Day. Well, now we've come full circle. Now I'll give you my take on it. Yeah, we can have no Australia Day. That's fine. But for the people that believe in Australia, well, they can have the holiday. For the people who don't believe in Australia, well, they should go to work. I'll leave it at that. Okay, I will be doing the COVID Rats of Oz, another two. I'm going to do who I missed last week was Andrew Barr from the AC2, who's still in power at the moment, hasn't done a runner, and Nicola Spurrier, who was the health minister. And I'll be talking about both those two. But first of all, I will do a quick update on Australia Day, just so people don't forget, while we actually wave a flag, have nationalism, and continue to be a country not ruled by the globalist just yet. And speaking of the globalist too, people, don't forget to watch the four episodes of Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich. There's four episodes on Netflix. Definitely worth a watch. And I'm almost through the Ghislaine Maxwell ones. There's also episodes on her called Ghislaine Maxwell, Filthy Rich as well. You have to look at this, and it's not about those two. We know that they were the perpetrators of pedophilia and a lot of evil things. And they were filthy rich. They were already from rich backgrounds. That's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is these people have a pedo list, like a blacklist, full of all the people they did dealings with. And a lot of those people would have fell into the globalist list. So you do need to keep an eye on what's happening to her, because once she goes, they're going to try and close the door on the whole thing. Now, names have gone out there, and I've already put up a story called The Pedo List, question mark, of course, because I don't want defamation against me. And I've already talked about this in last week's podcast, but the names are there. And it's unbelievable, you know, the amount of people. Richard Branson, Al Gore. Now, none of these people are accused, but they're on the list. But there are many more people that haven't been put on that list yet. Okay, so we have to keep looking at it. And they try to throw names on there like Donald Trump. And you know that possibly he did have dealings. I mean, these people are so rich, they don't think there's any rules against them. That's why you've got to be very, very careful, people, when you support one side or the other. You know, there's no point in one globalist winning against another one and you voted for either or, because you're still going to be in the same boat in the end. Okay? So it's almost like saying, well, that globalist is not quite as bad as that globalist. No, they're all the same people. Okay, it's called total control. All dictators or anyone that wants to get to the top wants total control. They want no opposition to what they want. That's why you have tug of wars between the globalists. At the moment, some of them are working together to get rid of people. Okay, they're using the green machine, promoting the planet, to make sure that people hate people. Divide and conquer, wars like Israel versus Palestine, when they're saying it's Israel versus Gaza or Hamas, they're really naming the Palestinians. That's why there's genocide at the moment. 25,000 dead for, 1,300 Israelis. Okay, and that was a false flag. Netanyahu let them go in there, kill those kids, and that gave him the go-ahead to take out all of Gaza and the other one, the West Bank, and take total control and claim them for them. And then they can go and get the Gaza Marine, which is full of trillions of cubic feet of gas, which is worth billions upon billions of dollars. Now do you get it? Globalists want resources and power, and they just want to get rid of people. If there's collateral damage, they couldn't care less. That's for the plebs to talk about on the news. They have no interest in that. Anyway, so I just thought, do not let your eyes off the gaze of the big picture, because that is what's steering history, okay? It's not about us quibbling, because in the end, we're still controlled by the same cabal, okay? I also got the story up about the hottest hoax ever, which is about Earth's hottest year was 2023. Read all that. There are stories attached to it. Don't take your eyes on the ball off that one, because they're using that. And we had a heat wave today. I'm not going to say we don't have hot days. We do. We're in Australia. It's a sunburnt country. It's always hot. But they explode it and make it sound worse than it is. It's a bit like the cyclone that hit northern Australia and Queensland. And it was apparently coming in to destroy that part of Queensland. That's how they the category two, it's going to wreck everything. It came in, a bunch of trees fell over and 60,000 people lost power. And most of the time the power was cut off because they just cut it off. In other words, those people were not supposed to have their power cut off, but they said, well, we're not going to take any chances. So that makes the event look worse than it is. When in actual fact, the damage, no deaths, you start to wonder, why are they drumming this all up? Well, if they've got weather weapons and they want to push the problem and then acerbate it and make it seem worse than it is, people are going to be fearful. It's like the sirens going up and down the main road. It starts to eat at you. But the end result is nothing happened. You see, they get cyclones up there all the time. That's where they are. They're in that area of Australia where we get hit with cyclones. And so what I'm getting at is that they use the events and they make them seem worse than they're going to be, simply to get people fearful. So as they're on the edge of their chair waiting for something else to happen, they'll bring in pandemic two, and that'll just knock you off your chair. And that's exactly what they want to do. That's the whole point. So what I'm getting at is that they control these narratives. It's not just, oh, just bad luck. They are controlling these events. They are making the events appear worse than they are. And then they're hitting areas that never get those sort of events. And people are going, well, it must be climate change. Well, their moniker back in the day was global warming. Had nothing to do with climate change, because the climate has always changed. But they hijacked it because the global warming didn't work. People didn't buy it. Now they're moving on the climate change. And, of course, they can claim every storm. Oh, well, it's climate change. Well, yeah. But they could probably add a bit of weather weapons to it to make it worse than it is. There's all these sort of things going on all around the world, not just in Australia. So I'm just saying, the propaganda is in full swing. Okay? And if people are gullible enough to buy it, they will. But you should not buy it. You should just wait and sit back and understand that this is part of a process, okay? They'll go on the news and say, this event coming, panic, people will, and then it passes, and they go, aren't we lucky? And that's exactly what they're saying on the news right now. Oh, we're so lucky. You think, the more they scream, cry wolf, one day when the real pandemic comes, that they release, or some sort of other event, people will break. They will break because they've been hit so many times with the fear, they can't take it anymore. They say if you get three crises in a row, you'll have a breakdown. So with that idea, you can see why they keep hammering us 24/7. Even with the pandemic, it was the end of the world. Remember that? Oh, Spanish flu, 100 million. Get ready. 6 million died, maybe 7 million. But the vaccine started. We're up to, they're saying now it's 17 million. Through the vaccine. But that's not in the news. No, it's more about the tennis or the cricket or something like that. And it's good to see that Novak Djokovic is still winning. He never got the jab, people. Remember that when they taunted him and wouldn't let him in Australia? Now they love him. Well, he's never had the vax. He's Novak. So my reality is much stranger than fiction. It really is, because most of fiction is built off reality. So I'm just saying, be careful you don't get caught in the twilight zone. Try to understand that if you don't just go headlong into something and just hold back just a sec, you'll see that things pan out the way they're supposed to. If they don't, you'll have a better view of it. You'll say, well, hang on, we've never had a weather event there. What is this? What is happening now? And then you can focus on that problem as opposed to, oh, the world's, the sky's falling. Because that's what they want you to think. As I said, more than 10 years ago, there was a company in Australia called the Australian Rain Company. And you had people like Malcolm Turnbull, the ex-Prime Minister, you know, giving them the thumbs up. And they went over to Oman in the Middle East and they created rain on a very large scale. And then the company vanished. And we went, where are they? I'll do a quick search now, but where are they? These are the people that actually invented those systems that are probably now being used as weather weapons. Okay? It's not made up fantasy stuff, people. It's real. They've been using weather weapons since the Vietnam War, and that's when we knew about them. That's when they said they were making it rain to flood the North Vietnamese out of their tunnels. That's when they actually said, we are doing this on purpose. Let me have a look and see if the Australian Rain Company is still out there touting all their rain-making abilities. First up, I found this article from 2007. This is how long ago it was. Turnbull pumps $10 million into rain-making gamble. And it's got, few MPs would have worked harder to defend the seats at this election than Environment Minister Malcolm Turnbull. So this is before he became PM, whose blue ribbon Sydney seat of Wentworth is under siege, not just from Labor, but a range of environmental activists, mostly around the Greens. But in the second week of the campaign, Mr. Turnbull found the time to announce that the government, already in caretaker mode, would bankroll to the tune of $10 million the investigation of an untried Russian technology that aims to trigger rainfall from the atmosphere even when there are no clouds. In a decision that raised the eyebrows of water experts around the country, Mr. Turnbull's office says there was no breach of caretaker protocol because a project was actually approved before the election was announced. The money bankrolls research into a mysterious ionisation technology promoted by the Australian, so I get it right, Rain Corporation. So that's the one he invested in. And a commercial trial by Wastewater Centre at Queensland University, well funded by Bill Gates in the past, left independent experts like Emeritus Professor Neville Fletcher of the Australian National University a little unconvinced. I think the conclusion was, and I might even quote, that it said, there is no evidence to show that the technology does not work, Professor Fletcher told the 730 report. Now, that's a little bit negative, so I don't know. I thought that was inconclusive is about where I put it. And it's got rainmaker Ian Searle, the father of cloud seeding in Australia for the Tasmanian hydro scheme, has also expressed doubts, as has Israel's internationally respected cloud physicist, Professor Daniel Rosenfeld. There is no single scientific paper, only the patent. And one can patent anything, claiming it has to do with anything that they like, as long as no one else has made the same claims before, Professor Rosenfeld said. Mr. Searle says it's all the literature that is seen on the technology shows it is bogus science. So here we go, them knocking them. Okay, and he put $10 million into it. So there you go. So now let's find what's happening. And it actually says here, I'll just read this part. I like this bit. The Rain Corporation presented research documents written in Russian, explained by a Russian researcher who spoke to local experts in Russian. Way back there. This is a big article. I'll just grab it. I might put it up as a link to read because it is interesting to read this stuff from the past. But okay, that's more than what? 17 years ago. But then when he got in as PM, now this is what I wanted to find. This is where they actually succeeded. One sec. Okay, now I'm on the site of australianrain.com.au and it's got, welcome to Australian Rain Technologies. 6 years of precise results in Oman. Sixth and final year of the Oman trial. Once again, highly consistent enhancement, very high probabilities around estimates. Now I'll get a date on this because this is a website And I remember this website looking like this years ago when I saw it. So I'm not even sure if this is an updated site. But still, it says, Australian Rain Technologies is pioneering statistical analysis to enable commercially effective decision-making in the area of rainfall enhancement. Think of the floods, people, in Lismore. This statistical methodology has been applied to the Australian Rain Technologies' own Atlant rainfall enhancement through ionisation technology. However, it is equally applicable to chemical cloud seeding. Chemtrails, people, anyone? Which has been hampered by inconclusive trial analysis for 70 years. It says, in particular, the University of Wollongong has applied this analytical method across multiple trials of the Australian Rain Technologies Atlant rainfall enhancement through ionisation technology over 10 years in Australia and Oman. And it says, in all cases, rainfall enhancement was identified at high levels of statistical confidence. Enhancement ranged from 10% to 90% statistical confidence level in three trials in South Australia. Now, I've already reported on this, people. I remember the South Australian ones in Adelaide where they made it rain and rivers flooded. So I'm just going to leave it there. This is a big, big problem because these people are doing this and they are funded by Australian politicians and people on the side called globalists. That's what this is. So I'm looking at the site now and I'm trying to get an idea. Now, I've gone to the bottom of the site and it's got copyright 2018. So it hasn't really been, in my opinion, updated since then because this looks like the same stuff I was reading years ago. So I'm just saying to you people, this is real. Weather weapons are real. And this is just one from a Russian perspective, made into a patent in Australia, then being used. Now, can you imagine what the Russians have, the Chinese have, even the Indians and Europe plus the United States? You'd have to be a fool to sit on the sidelines with your fingers in your ears and not listen to this. It is happening. There are weather weapons. That's the flood events, which they call climate change. That's the bushfire events, even though 50% are arsonists. Those arsonists are actually pushed to do it by the very people that want you to think it's climate change. Okay? Not all of them, but that you only need a few to spark the flames to get people worried and the sirens start again. Okay? We're in that age now. It's not going back to normal from this point. They know it. The pandemic to them worked. Not to kill people, but to get people on their side to do anything they want. And you know what they want, people? They want people to kill people. They want us to fight amongst ourselves while they sit back in their ivory towers and gloat over what they've started. It's never really changed. It's really been like that, even in ancient times. The same thing. You've seen it a million times with the kings and queens holed up in their ivory towers while the armies go out and kill each other, and then they claim victories. And they never lifted a finger to do anything. This is the same thing, people. Nothing has changed, okay? We're still in a feudal system. Nothing has changed. Now, on another note, I did put up the other story too called The Death of Guzzler Transport. This is to do with petrol transport. So I did put the story up, and but I wasn't focusing on that. I've already talked about all that, so I won't retalk it all, but you need to go and have a look at the meme I put up. One of those mean memes. So it was actually a picture, I think originally, of the mayor of Cogra touting how great electric scooters were and how you should all get one and get rid of your cars because they're doing a share thing of these scooters in Cogra as I speak. So he thought it was a great idea to go and do your shopping. So I thought, great. Now, the other guy that was taunting how to do this electric scooter thing and, you know, create the green bridges, you know, where cars can't go and only people can walk. And he was also pushing active transport, which is your 2 feet, was the university student called Mr. Bland. So, of course, I put his head on the body of the mayor, and I gave him a couple of Coles bags, but you can't see their Coles, I don't want to say, but they look like bags with measles all over them, and I called it Bland Awareness. I left it at that. Just another mean meme, and I am putting those memes together, and I'll put them all up as a collage, along with the COVID rats of Oz, and we can leave them on the website and wait for the defamation. I'm kidding, people. It'll be a way for you to go and check it out and never forget. Please never forget what happened in Australia for those 2 or 3 years because it's coming again. Same with the WHO Board of The executive board that I've left on the site as well, on the left-hand side of the widget bar of conspiracyoz.com. I've done that for a reason, so we never forget who those people were that imposed the worst restrictions on human beings on Earth since I don't know when. Because remember when we had World War I and World War II and other wars, it was only in areas. It wasn't the whole of the world that was locked down or had problems. But in the pandemic, it was. Even in deepest, darkest Africa, they would chase them through the jungle trying to jab the COVID jab in them. I'm not kidding. And the ironic part about deepest parts of Central Africa is that they were already on hydroxychloroquine for the malaria. So they didn't get COVID. Funny that. Anyway. Now, something else I haven't mentioned in a while, and I haven't put the charts up, but I will, is the gold. The gold reserves going up. People buying the gold. Well, not the gold reserves. I shouldn't say it like that. But it's the spot price per ounce of gold in Australia. And this is your best indicator that globalists and you know, people in the know are buying up gold knowing that there's a crash coming. Okay? So just for the record, since the 2nd of December, gold hit the 2000 mark. It has not come down. It is just going up. Okay? So keep your eye on it, people, because it's coming. You know, it's past the 2000 mark and has not come back down. It's going to keep going now till we get hit with a major recession worldwide, not just in Australia. Now, also, another indicator, and this is a classic. This is the classic. You go to Australian bankruptcies on Australian at conspiracyoz.com. You can find the gold, the bit price too, on the right-hand side of conspiracyoz.com on the widget on the right-hand side, the widget bar. Right next to it is the bankruptcies. You click on that and straight away you go, what is going on with December? That is the lowest amount of bankruptcies in the history of reporting bankruptcies in Australia. And you start going, what is going on? Now, they will not let you look past the 10-year mark. If you want to know how far back bankruptcies have been in Australia, the level of bankruptcies in Australia for the last 10 years, they usually give you this like a graph and you can sort of look at it and go, okay, yeah, I can see where it's gone up and down, up and down. In this case, they will give you the bankruptcies for the last 10 years, and that's it, okay? And they are now showing December as the lowest bankruptcies in the history of the last 10 years, but they will not show you 25 years. So I will hopefully dig and find that information. But for now, as an example, they have bankruptcies, and most of them are usually around 700, 800, 900 mark, and these are main companies. These are not little mums and dads businesses. These are companies for 100 employees in the thousands going under in Australia. And they kept fudging the figures for the last 12 months. Yeah, they'd say, well, this is the report for that month. And then they would change it a few months later to another total, which is usually higher. And I've been reporting on this for a long time. And I am going to put up all the bankruptcies so people can see it clearly. And I may leave it as a widget, just so people can keep referencing it, because this is getting ridiculous. Anyway, the last bankruptcy that was reported, the proper one, was in November 2023, and that was for 891 bankruptcies. The month before was 907. Major companies in Australia going under, going bankrupt, gone, okay? Now you've got December, 39. I'm sorry, people. That has never been reported that low. And we're into January. They should be having, the December figure should be up, and they are not. They're leaving it on 39, the lowest it's ever been, as far as I can tell, for decades. But they are not letting us see past a decade. Okay? So something's happening. Okay? I'm just letting you know that something is wrong because the figures are not adding up. That means you know they're manipulating it. Okay, we're going to get into a situation now, and that's from tradingeconomics.com, which get their information from the, I'll just see if I can find it, so you know who they're getting their info from. They get it from the Australian Securities and Investments Commission. That's where they get the information for that site. Okay, so we have a big problem. The forecast, if you look at the forecast of bankruptcies, it says bankruptcy in Australia is expected to be 700 companies by the end of this quarter. It's already hit the 900 mark. Who are they kidding? According to Trading Economics Global Macro Models and Analyst Expectations, in the long term, the Australian bankruptcies is projected to trend around 590 companies in 2025. It's already broken that by nearly a half, by doubling, sorry, not half. They've already doubled that figure virtually. I used to say when it was on the 600 mark that they would have to make the graph bigger because it's going to go higher, which it has. And so that this is the problem they've got, is they're running out of things to tell people and graphs to show them. People are just going to throw it into the wind soon. They're going to believe it because we now know we're in that time where none of this stuff is going to be worth looking at anymore. All what I'm saying is while it's still there, get your head out of the sand because something big is coming, okay? And it's just around the corner. This is not decades away. This is very close, all right? So I put that story up anyway, going back to Mr. Bland on the death of the Gaza Transport. Now, we do know that we are in a fight to the death with transport and privacy because they want to take your car and your house off you and throw you out into the public arena where you can't hide anywhere, hence the digital ID. And they want to make sure you don't have your own independence anymore either. That's why they want the petrol car gone and the diesel car. They want it gone and not replaced by an electric car. They want the few to have an electric car and the majority to have no transport that they own. You'll have to travel, because to save the planet, for the globalists, you'll have to travel on an electric bus to go anywhere. And you can go and get an electric scooter if you want to do your shopping. Who knows? I saw just a few hours back when I was having a cup of tea out on the balcony and I looked over at the main road and I saw traffic flying up the road, as it always does. It's not a big deal. It's a main road. But I saw an electric bike with two young girls that looked about 13 or 14 driving as fast as a car. They've had their helmets on, which is a good thing. They won't die straight away. But they were flying up the road at exactly the same speed as the traffic on the road. And I was just flabbergasted because they don't have to get a driver's license. They can just go on the road with all the trucks and cars and taxis and ambulances, police and fire engines. Not a problem. It's only a matter of time, people. It's only a matter of time. What they did was fully and utterly illegal, but they don't care. It's not regulated. When I was a kid on a push bike, we went on the road, we got off the road if we saw cars coming. We went up the footpath, and that was just as bad back then. People got knocked over by bikes. You get knocked over by an electric bike, you might not get up again. Okay, I used to say they were 100 kilograms in weight, but they're not really 100 kilograms in weight on their own. With the person or persons on the bike, that's what gives it the velocity, the speed, and the power when they hit someone. Then it is 100 kilos. Okay, that's really what I meant when I said that, because I've noticed I've quoted that many times on the podcast, saying 100 kilos come in, as if the bike weighed 100 kilos, which it does not. They're around about 20 to 30. Some of them can, some of the bigger bikes, but the average electric bike and that is usually around 20 k's to 30 k's in weight. But when you put the people on them, which you have to, that's what increases the weight to make it a projectile. If it hits you, that's what's going to hit you and it's going to hurt because they've got the speed. You see, it's not like they're coming down at you at 10 or 15 k's on a bike, a push bike, pedal bike. No, these things are electrified and they move at 60 k's they can. And I saw those girls and that was definitely 60 k's. Definitely. So if they hit someone or someone hit them, there's going to be a big problem. It's only a matter of time, people. And they want to get the cars off the road because if a car hits one of them, you know who's going to get blamed, don't you? Well, you've got to save the planet. Okay, let's get back to Australia Day. So what happened today in Melbourne, or near enough, they pulled Captain Cook off his pedestal, you could say. And this has happened before. It's not the first time, but I'll let them say it. It only goes for a couple of minutes, but you need to hear this, people, because this is what's happening to our history in Australia, where we'll have no history soon. I mean, even the people in the clip, and this is what I'm saying, you've got an Aboriginal fellow saying, we call him Captain Crook, and they have their ways of saying stuff, and that's fine, but he was endorsing vandalism, okay? And I was thinking to myself while he was saying it, buddy, you wouldn't be speaking English if we hadn't got to this point. So you wouldn't be able to express the fact that Captain Cook just lost his legs. But anyway, I'll let Channel 9 News tell you what happens on Australia Day rather than celebrating the fact that we are a national country away from the globalists at this stage. They'd rather take it back to the Stone Age.
The growing divide over Australia Day took an ugly turn today when vandals cut down the controversial Captain Cook statue in St Kilda.
Indigenous activists and allies say the monument of the British explorer should never be restored. Eliza Rugg with the latest.
hoodies and masks covering their faces, armed with angle grinders and spray paint.
Magic, magic, lights, camera, action.
This was a carefully planned act of vandalism. The target, Captain Cook.
Erected a ladder on the side and then used electric equipment to be able to remove them. It made a lot of noise, there were a lot of sparks.
3:30 this morning, Katani Gardens. The metal sculpture was sawn off at Captain Cook's ankles and dumped on the grass with a rope around his neck.
It is a good way to make your message. Whether it's a good message, I'm not sure.
It's a part of history. That's Australia.
Residents called police, but by the time officers arrived, the culprits had left.
This sort of vandalism really has no place in our community. We will be working with council to repair and reinstate the statue.
I would welcome a state contribution here because there is a broader principle at stake.
The Colony Will Fall was spray painted on the plinth. It's not the first time the St Kilda statue has been targeted.
Captain Cook, as we say, you know, he's the founding father of genocide in this country.
Police are also investigating a spray paint attack on the Queen Victoria Monument.
You are now witnessing the power!
Near the Royal Botanic Gardens. Heritage Victoria will come out to inspect what is left of the Captain Cook statue to see if it can be restored. In the meantime, there will be extra security patrols here and around other statues in the city of Melbourne. More than 100,000 people will gather at Parliament House tomorrow morning for the Invasion Day rally as calls grow louder to change the date.
This represents, you know, the journey of the past, but we can talk about a new journey of the future.
So as I said, they are condoning vandalism. It's like, well, if you don't like what we like, we'll just use violence against you. And that's really what's happened here. I have no words for it because if they get rid of Australia Day on the 26th of January and make it on the 1st of January, which is what they're trying to do, what will be protest again will be the flag. They will go after the flag and say, we've got to get rid of that, the union part of the flag, the British part of the flag. They'll say, get rid of it. Then they'll want, I've said this so many times in the past, they'll want the Aboriginal flag, which won't happen, all right? They're not going to pick it, but they'll have to pick a different flag from what we have now. That'll be attacked next. And I've always said, people, if we don't pick ourselves up and start realising we are one nation, not a globalist lackey in the chain of events towards a new world order, we're going to end up with a green flag, think of the Olympic colours, with a yellow banana in the middle. And that's representing the Banana Republic, because that's what we'll become if we turn around and decide to dig up all the roads that Rome built. Okay, this is really the nonsensical part. But I understand why the globalists let this happen. It's a divide and conquer with the lower classes. They want that. They want the fight to continue. They want the racial divide. They'll create a divide where you've got a anti-fascists that are now fighting the anti-vaxxers. You see what I mean? Like, they'll have all these factions fighting amongst themselves, so there's never any unity. That's what they don't want. And they certainly don't want anyone with an idea to combat what they're about to do. That's why they don't like all the activists and all the people online that are like anti-establishment. They don't want those people because they keep uniting people with them to cause groups, and they don't want that. They want everyone divided separately, so they can divide and conquer. That's the whole point. So I don't agree with the fact that the past did create a lot of problems in Australia and around the world, especially Tasmania, I understand. But at the same time, it's history. You can't rewrite it because the only thing you can do is repeat it. And that's something that shouldn't happen. We know what happened. There's no point in rebuking it and going, oh my God, we're doing it again. No, by pulling down statues, you're actually doing absolutely nothing. All it's done in reality is pull down a statue and cause the police to increase in power as they go after the very people. What do you think happened in Israel? Exactly the same thing. A bunch of Hamas terrorists went into Israel and killed 1,200 people or thereabouts. Then they ran away. That gave Israel the thumbs up to go and kill all Palestinians, because they could all possibly be Hamas. Even the children, they could be terrible terrorists, or the old lady up the street. You have no idea. They'll just whitewash them all. And it is genocide, and they know it, and they've been allowed to do it. That's my point. You let these people go and chop down the statues, they're almost like the Hamas. They're going to go after all people. So the police will then see all people as terrorists. Okay? That's what's going to happen. I mean, remember, they named Australia Terra Australis. Yeah, that's what it was originally called. So I'm just saying, people, just realise that history is something you cannot change. We don't have to repeat it, but it can't change. On another note, if you really want to do Aboriginal history studies and you want to find out how the wars against the colonialists really went, get your hands on a book called Blood on the Wattle. I think it was Bruce Elder. Very hard to find, but if you get your hands on that, then you can read about the wars that actually were against the colonials. Okay? They didn't win in the end just like the Native Americans because, you know, the big stick. Whoever's got the biggest weapon still hasn't changed today. The US still has the biggest weapons and still tout them. So nothing's changed there. Who are you going to go after now? You know, you see, this one, my point I'm making is that we're squabbling over nothing. Okay? And people go, oh, what do you mean nothing? That's the history. No, the whole planet. You see, there's no point in squabbling over one part of it. The whole planet has been enslaved for a very long time and continues to be. All right? If we don't start actually looking at the actual perpetrators and keep fighting amongst ourselves, guess what's going to happen, people? History will repeat and continue to repeat. All right? You want a better world? Have a look at right at the top. Okay? Now, I don't have a solution. I wish I did. I wish I could sit here and go, right, I've got a way out of this. But I don't. This is a collective thing. This is where people have to put their brains together to come up with ways to do things for the betterment of humans, not the detriment, which is what the globalists want. The globalists used millions of people to make money off and get richer. Now they have the power, they want to get rid of those people. That's the reality. Whether you agree with it or not, that's what's going to happen. All right? I don't agree with it because they've never gone around and asked people, would you like to exit stage left so we can get on with making the planet more habitable for us and our families? We're talking about the globalists. No, you're not getting asked that question. They're just doing it. So that's what I don't agree with. They're playing God. And guess what? They're not God. All right? So you have to stop this in its tracks. Again, I don't have a solution. Okay? I don't know whether people are going to go, oh, should we go communist? Should we go socialist? Should we go this? Should we go feudal? Should we go that? That's irrelevant. This is a human problem. Always has been since the caveman when he picked up a bone and bashed another caveman to death. Okay? We've been struggling with it since then. Who are you going to blame back then for the initial violence? You see what I'm saying? It's part of nature. Kill or be killed. It's been the planet's psyche from day one since it was formed. We're in a life and death struggle all the time. The problem is there are people now that think they are in control of nature. They think they're above the life and death thing. They can control it like nature. That's the problem we've got, people. That's why they're trying to control the weather, what you eat, what you drive, where you go, what you say. That's why getting to that point where we're micromanaged from the very top by a central New World Order. That's why they want to centralize all the banking systems. That's why that's happening. That's why cash is going. So you lose your individuality. Everything becomes accountable. Then they can turn off your power if they feel like it. Turn off your money. If they turn off your electricity, you lose your money because how are you going to do any banking? How are you going to pay for anything if your phone can't be recharged? Very easy to do this stuff, people, to get people to think, because generally, I don't like saying it, but it's true, most people want the easy way out. I don't mean exit stage left. I mean they don't want to get up if they can press the button to change the channel. I remember a mate of mine used to say he was the remote control. His father would say, get up and change the channel back in the day before you could do that. So I understand that people like the easy way out, okay? But this time we're really in trouble. We're really taking an easy way out where there's no way back, okay? So once we have a central banking system, and apparently Donald Trump stood up and said there'll be no central banking system under my command, which means he's very nationalist, but still, who are you gonna trust in this day and age? So I'm just saying that if you let that go, if you let go your individuality, your privacy, and control of your money, they have us. Okay, from that point onwards, you'll have to be subservient because they'll be able to target you individually. Even as a group, they'll be able to target the individuals to bring down the group. So that's what I'm saying. You have to fight back. You have to not let the banking system control everything we do by going online, okay? As just happened, 60,000 people in Queensland just lost power because a cyclone hit. Now they're all waiting. And, you know, in the past, you could light a candle and go, oh, well, you know, These days, you can't eat if you've got no power. You understand, people? You can't go and buy something because you don't have any cash. Okay? The tills won't work. It stops. That's why it's dangerous. Okay? That's why losing power is dangerous. And they keep closing more coal-fired power stations down and less energy. And in the end, once they've got their digital ID and they've got you all locked in, there's no more cash, they'll bring in the nuclear reactors as the final stamp. And that'll be that. You'll be done. And Australia will be done because we're going to be the dumping ground for all those nuclear reactors all around the world. Understand? And do you think people will care about the Aboriginals then? Because they're the ones that just put their hands up to let it come here. So think twice on Australia Day who Australia is really for. Okay? I'll leave it at that. And I'll put up four links from the past on conspiracyoz.com if you really want to get the lowdown on Australia Day. Because I went into depth many times on this. And I didn't want to do that today because we have an Australia Day so far every year. Maybe next year there'll be a problem or the year after, I'm not sure. But story I put up back in January the 24th, just prior to Australia Day in 2014, 10 years ago. This is, I've got as a headline, Australia Day cancelled if the Greens get their way. So what's happened is an article that came out in 9.9sm.com.au, Australia Day needs a new date, says the Greens. It says Australia Day should be moved to the date a republic is declared. It says Greens leader Christine Milne. So it's back in the day, 10 years ago, people. Senator Milne has reiterated a long-standing Green policy to change the date from January the 26th. She says Australians want to celebrate the good things about their country without offending Aboriginal people who have dubbed the day Invasion Day. We would like to see that change, Senator Milne told reporters in Hobart. There would be an opportunity to do that if Australia was to become a republic. That would provide an opportunity to change the date and reframe the day. Former Greens leader Bob Brown will be among the speakers when the Tasmanian Aboriginal community rallies in Hobart on Sunday, calling for a new date for the national celebration. You want to know what's interesting about that, people? Even though it's the Greens party, Christine Milne is a white Australian and Bob Brown is certainly a white Australian. And guess where they are, people? Tasmania. You want to know what happened to the Tasmanian Aboriginals? They were wiped out. The full bloods. I think there was Trigonani was the last one left that died and now there are none. So these people are descendants, if they're not from there, from the very people that destroyed that race. And here they are on their side this time going, oh, we'll fight for you even though there's none of you left. And this story came out recently about the statues being chopped down from the ankles down. This is from 11th of July 2023. Removal of Hobart's William Crowther statue to be explained in signage as heritage assessment brands monument non-significant. You're going, who is he? The city, it says a sandstone plinth will be all that remains of a bronze statue of a colonial figure in Hobart that's set to be pulled down, with temporary signage added explaining why it was removed. Only 6 months ago, people. The City of Hobart Council has released redevelopment plans for the removal of the 1889 William Crowther statue to be placed in storage, with the signage on the site to read, "Why the empty plinth?" The way in which social attitudes towards certain colonial figures have changed and ways of reinterpreting these public spaces was central to the case for removal on heritage grounds. A heritage report in May described the Crowther statue as non-significant, divisive and derogatory to Tasmanian Aboriginal people, adding it did not add anything to Franklin Square. There is a contrast to a 2007 conservation plan that stated the statue was of high significance, but this plan has since been revisited. The discomfort expressed by members of the Tasmanian Aboriginal community with the memorialisation of the Crowther in this way provided an opportunity to reassess the significance of the Crowther monument and its contribution to the significance of Franklin Square. So they just removed it because people didn't like it. And there you go, people. So it's just like, this is the very Aboriginal people that those two white people, Australians, are representing now. So you think to yourself, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed, people. It's just pandering. They can't change history, okay? But yeah, read about the Tasmanian Aboriginals. Same thing happened there. They were wiped out. They called it the White Line, where all the soldiers lined up across the whole of Tasmania in certain parts, and they walked forward with their guns. Anyone they saw, they shot. Aboriginal, of course. Just telling, get the book, Blood on the Wattle. It'll explain all the wars that the Aboriginals did in Sydney and other places against the colonialists. Okay? They didn't just lie down and die. They did fight back. Okay? Anyway. And actually, I did another story. That was also on conspiracyhealth.com, the last story before that, where Australia Day is cancelled by the Greens. I'll put them up as links in the story to Australia Day. It's got too few facts in Australia Day farce. January the 10th, 2014, The Daily Telegraph. It's got discount supermarket chain Aldi, and this has also happened recently too, by the way, people, was correct to pull an Australian Day T-shirt and singlet carrying the message Australia established 1788 from its stores. Remember, Aldi's not an Australian company. It's German. It was inaccurate, though that was not the point that they hoped to make. Australia wasn't officially branded as such until navigator Matthew Flinders decided to give the landmass the name in 1804. As he wrote to his brother, I'll call the whole island Australia or Terra Australis. Okay? It says Australia. The independent nation wasn't established until 1901. But that's hardly the point. Those who have been protesting to Aldi via knee-jerk anti-social media are the usual attention-seeking rabble who came out around Australia Day to reiterate the never-disputed point that there were people living on the continent before 1788. No one has argued with that. No one. But as usual, the professional activists get their moment in the spotlight as they did when, egged on by spin doctors within the office of former minority Labor Prime Minister Julia Gillard, they discredited themselves with their disgraceful riot outside Canberra's lobby restaurant on Australia Day 2012. I'm not sure if that's the one that where Tony Abbott, to look back, with Julia Gillard, had to run from the restaurant when they were attacked by, I think it was like 100 Aboriginals. I'm not sure that was the Cinderella effect where they both jumped into a cab or a car and she lost her $500 shoe like Cinderella. I don't know if that was the event. I'm not sure about Canberra's lobby restaurant thing. But what happened is Tony Abbott was on the radio just prior to that saying that the tent embassy should be pulled down. And then he's gone and had dinner with Julia Gillard, the opposition. This is Labor and Liberal having a dinner together. Oh, go figure. Next minute, the Aboriginals found out that they were that he was dining not far from where the tent embassy was, and they all rushed over to sort of annoy them, and they had to do a runner. I'm not sure if that was the event they're talking about there, but that actually did happen to people. Anyway, so it's got, to finish off the article, it says, to find the Australia established 1788 slogan racist is finding a wrongdoing where none could have been identified except by Salem witch hunters of 1692. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but did you hear recently that Woolworths, I think it was Woolworths and Kmart, are not advertising their Australia Day paraphernalia, you know, for people to wear the hats and all that. They're going to have something there, but they're not promoting it, and they don't want to put the merchandise out for sale. So straight away, people wanted to boycott Woolworths and Kmart. And apparently Coles, the opposition, don't have a problem with it. And they'll be releasing their Australian Day merchandise as normal. So it's becoming political, people. The flag is next. I tell you, people, the flag is next. Now, I've just got a couple more stories to add to that. And I'll put this up as an Australia Day thing, just as a reminder of stories I've done in the past, because I've already done the research and there are tons of links to it. Nothing's really changed. The same argument's there, and it's going to be the same argument next year. So I've got here's conspiracyoz.com, and I put this story up on the 24th of January, and I'll just get the date to make sure I know what I'm talking about. I think it's 2018 from memory, but I'll just see if I can find the date on this story because it doesn't have dates. Yeah, 2018, so right. January the 26th, Council, get back to work. So I've written, if Australia Day is moved to January the 1st, then we lose another public holiday, because January the 1st is already a holiday, people. It's New Year's Day. It says, what's next? Anzac Day, Queen's Birthday, Easter, Christmas, you know, and so it's got, and that's something I put up. Then you've got links to all the things I just spoke about, Anzac Day, Australia Day, and this is it. And then I put down the bottom, and this is extremely important. You really need to take note of this, people. This sums it up. Remember, this is a quote I put in. Remember, the globalists want to cancel all holidays. They want 24/7 work days to run the global slave economy. Now, at the time, that's what I thought, because that's what you would think. You wanted to think that the globalists were out to just take everything from you to turn it into slavedom. They do want to do that, but they also want to cull most of the slaves. So understand what is coming. Okay, it's not just about losing your privacy and independence and getting back to work on January the 26th. No, it's about less people getting back to work on the 26th because there will be less people. Okay, especially after pandemic two, which Bill Gates, so jokingly refers to that you will notice at this time. Our final link to that whole Australia Day debacle. I've got another story I put in on 2021. And it's on January the 26th, 2021. I put up this story called Happy Invasion Day with a question mark. And I've got, so they want to move the date of Australia Day to January the 1st. And it says, hang on, we already have a holiday on that day. Oh, one less community get together for the people. That's also important. Community get together, people. Now, I've said that my solution is to go back to the previous way we celebrated Australia Day prior to 1994, when it became fixed on the January the 26th, and they make it the last Friday of January, ensuring a holiday without conflict for all Australians. It said it would be good to see all those whiteys protesting history to turn over their houses and land to the Indigenous people, to show they care and really mean what they say. And the meme I put up with the people is the Australian flag, but instead of the Union flag, I put the Aboriginal flag there, just to annoy people. But it's so true. All these people screaming all the time, especially the ones for refugees, let them go and live with them. You know, they're screaming so hard from the get them here, off they go. They can live in your house with you and see how you like it, because you're the one that wants to help them, so why don't you help them? Very simple, people. Okay, people, I think it's time for the COVID Rats of Oz. And stepping up to the pedestal is Nicola Spirier. She's the Chief Medical Officer, Health Officer of South Australia. So going to Jimmy Wales' Wikipedia, that is still available apparently, it says Nicola Jane Spirier, born in 1966, is an Australian paediatrician and public health physician who has been the Chief Public Health Officer at South Australia since August 2019. Isn't that interesting? She just got the job just before the pandemic kicked in. I won't read about the whole history, but we'll just go into the COVID part. As I said, I don't want to dwell on any of the awards or recognitions or even their personal life. I'm not really that interested. And guess what, people? Nothing about COVID. there's a tiny bit here. Spirier became Chief Public Health Officer for South Australia in August 2019. 4 months later, she was involved in the state's response to bushfires. I wonder if that was an unfortunately planned event as well. From March 2020, Spirier led South Australia's response to the COVID-19 pandemic, giving daily press conferences alongside Premier Stephen Marshall, and we spoke about him last week, people, in which she was called calm, honest, and direct. She became popular with the public, really, and had a cocktail named after her in Adelaide. Despite her cult following, she ruled out a move into politics. Oh, really? I'm surprised. She had a bacteria named after her too, people. Did you know about that? It's got health leader honoured by bacteria naming. I'll see if I can get it up. Health leader honoured by bacteria naming. Scientists often name new discoveries after celebrities, such as Beyonce's horsefly called Scapia Beyonce and Steve Irwin's snail, Crikey, Steve Irwin-y. It says, on the David Bowie huntsman spider, the Heteropodia David Bowie. So when University of Adelaide researchers discovered a new type of lactic acid bacteria, of course, they wanted to pay homage to someone who allowed them to continue their work during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. Oh, they're allowed to keep working. Introducing Nicola Spiriania, named after South Australia's Chief Public Health Officer, Professor Nicola Spirier. I've read no more, people, but the real world is very strange. Anyway, so basically, this is the one that pointed the finger in South Australia at the time. So we're just going to go into the stories and find out more about one of the COVID rats of Oz. And just to let you know, she's still in office, people. So just like the next guy I'm going to be reading, which is Andrew Barr, the leader of the ACT, where all the politicians reside, he's still in power as well. So these are two rats that are still scurrying around the COVID-19 fiasco, and we'll keep an eye on where they end up. So you can see that she was obviously already offered a job in politics, and she went, nah, I think I'll just lay low for a little while. Anyway, let's get into the grit, shall we? Well, this is going to be an interesting one, people. I'll start from the start, like right at the beginning. I did do the Wikipedia, but it doesn't say much. there's some really interesting stuff in here, people, that I didn't even know about. But still, let's get on with it. Okay, starting from the start, it's got Spheria apologises to man wrongly accused of breaching quarantine. Remember, she's the overlord of South Australia at the time. This is November the 30th, 2020. Okay, so not that long ago, 3 years and a bit, and then she was, it says, updated. Chief Public Health Officer, Professor Nicola Spheria, get it right, has this even personally apologised to a South Australian man who was wrongly accused of breaching quarantine when he visited numerous shops while infected with COVID-19. Her apology comes after health authorities this afternoon revealed the man was never directed to go into quarantine, despite Spheria saying yesterday that he unfortunately did not spend the whole time in quarantine after being identified as a contact of a confirmed case. So this is, she's now the not just the overlord, but she's the chief criminal police officer pointing fingers at people. SA Health yesterday said the man, aged in his 30s, was self-quarantining after attending the intensive English language institute at Flinders University, but went out on Sunday, November the 22nd, after receiving an initial negative test. So this is when all the tests were going on. People were ratting themselves. Rat test for the rats. It says, but today, Deputy Chief Public Health Officer Dr. Emily Kirkpatrick told reporters the man had not breached quarantine as widely reported after being identified as a casual contact of a confirmed case at the Intensive English Language Institute. For this particular cluster associated with the school, we did not require them as casual contacts to go into a set mandated quarantine period under the Emergency Management Act, she said. I think that's really important to understand here. There was not a specific direction served to the individual to undertake quarantine. So here she is waving the pointed finger with the claw on the end at this poor guy. This is back when everything was gone haywire, people. So that was a story back then where she'd got off to the wrong start, in my opinion. Next story. 31st of May 2021. So moving well along from that problem to another one. South Australia Health warns of potential for undetected COVID-19 cases amid testing drop-off. And you're going, what? South Australia's Chief Public Health Officer Nicola Spheria has warned the coronavirus cases linked to the Victorian outbreak could be circulating undetected in the South Australian community after a drop-off in a number of daily tests. Got to go test yourself, people. While testing surged across Adelaide last week, in an immediate aftermath of Melbourne's lockdown, remember that, being announced, Professor Spheria said numbers had declined since then. I was a little bit disappointed over the weekend when I saw the number of tests being done in South Australia. It had about 4,000 or so, she said. Victoria, they are having 40,000 or 50,000 people getting tested every day. So here she is victimising South Australians because they're not getting out and about and getting the test done because she needs the facts. She needs to make sure that the plebs are lining up for their tests and their shots. So this is where it got out of control, people. This is where they wanted to jab anything, okay? Like she says here, if anybody has even the mildest respiratory symptoms, headaches or sore throat, it is so important you go and get a test. It says SA Health has sent 50,000 text messages to people who have been in Victoria since May the 6th. This is how ridiculous it's got, people, where you'd be actually harassed to go and get tested and jabbed by them because it's so detrimental to the world that we're all going to die. And what happened, people? It is transmissible even after the jab and you still die anyway. What happened? What did she say? What does she say now? We're getting to that. I'll run through some of these stories and we'll get to the most ridiculous ones. When we get to the end, you'll be shaking your head and realise that Nicola Spheria is the nutty professor, as she's been dubbed. So next story from, see if I can get the name of the publication. It's Broome Broomead.com.au. I'm not even sure. Oh, Broom Ad. So it's Broom, like Western Australia. Broomad.com.au. SA Spurrier rejects resignation rumours. 7th of January 2022. So we're getting up to date slowly. South Australia's Chief Public Health Officer Nicola Spurrier has rejected rumours of tensions with Premier Stephen Marshall during the current surge in COVID-19 cases and scoffed at suggestions she threatened to quit. Fronting a media conference for the first time this week, Professor Spurrier has said she continued to have a good relationship with the Premier. I did hear these rumours. I get on extremely well with the Premier. Had dinner at his house a couple of weeks ago, she told reporters on Friday. We spend a lot of time talking. We need to be on the same wavelength. We've worked extremely well here in South Australia as a team. Asked specifically if she threatened to resign after the late December phone hookup with another senior SA health staff, she said, why would I threaten to resign from this sort of job? She's got total power, people. Why would you do that? She says, I'm here to deal with the pandemic, not to mess around. She says, I'm here to do a good job. I'm here to lead a pandemic response, and I would say absolutely no to that sort of question. That's probably how she sounded. I actually have the proper video clip, and you can listen to it. It says, asked about her limited appearances in media conferences in recent weeks, Professor Spurrier said she had not been sidelined. I'm doing my job. I'm working very hard. There's lots to do, she said. I've been very, 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 very busy. We can't always be here together in front of cameras. While SA reported a record 3,700 COVID-19 cases on Friday, Professor Spurrier said the state remained in a really good place. It might not seem it when you see the numbers, but certainly in comparison to some other states, I'm very happy with how we're managing to deal with the Omicron outbreak. Remember that, people? Where it's all transmissible, and from that point they all went and hid, jumped ship. She's still there, but people still hanging onto the rafters of the COVID rat ship. Hasn't quite jumped off yet. Maybe she'll be walking the plank soon, but still. I just thought that was interesting where they're trying to get her to resign. Now, there's another clip right after that that's on Facebook, so I'm not going to play the clip, but it's got her. It says, Nicola Spurrier harassed outside of court. Police accompanied South Australia's Chief Health Officer Nicola Spurrier to her car after she was harassed by anti-vaccine mandate protesters. April the 7th, 2022. So you can see why she's gone to ground, people. It didn't work. And there's someone holding up a sign in front of her saying, the truth loves liberty. Now, there's another Facebook one, and you can see I'm not a Facebook fanatic at all. I don't like it. But I just wanted to mention this. It's actually that press conference that I was just doing the transcript for, and it's where she's addressing the South Australian COVID press conference. It says, I'm not going to play the clip, goes for about 3 minutes, but I'm reading the comments to it, and there's a few comments from the Facebook people, and it's got from a girl called Angela. It says, South Australia has less population than the eastern states. We are not in a better position than other states. Our state is in crisis. Go ask the nurses, aged care workers, how they are coping, doing double shifts. SA cases have not peaked yet. Shame on you, Nicola, and your apparently awesome team. So, you know, the people know, and they're poking the finger at her, and that's why she's running and hiding. So I just sort of, I'll put all this up, you can look at it, but none of this surprises me. This is when the plan of the rat started to fall apart. And it's got, the next one is abc.net.au, the 4th of May, 2022. Now, I have mentioned this story before in reference to Stephen Marshall, the ex-premier of South Australia, but she's involved in this one too. It's when I first mentioned her last week and said I would talk about her this week. South Australian government moves to shift COVID powers from Grant Stevens, head of the police department, to the Public Health Act. Now, this is extremely important because she gets that power now, okay? And it's got, the state government will introduce legislation to Parliament today. That was back then, and I'll give you the date. Was the 4th of May, 2022. Okay, so just over almost a year. Oh, actually, no, that's nearly almost 2 years ago. So they've already got the power now ready for pandemic two. It says the state government will introduce legislation to Parliament to amend the Public Health Act to include a baseline level of COVID-19 rules. What does that mean? It says Premier Peter Malinauskas said passing the amendments to the Public Health Act would enable the state to lift its emergency management declaration by June the 30th. which the declaration had been in place for 2 years. Police Commissioner and State Emergency Coordinator Grant Stevens said he could relinquish his powers even sooner if the changes were pushed through. There is potential if this bill goes through, and there's an alternative mechanism to make sure people can be directed to do the right thing. This is what they're saying, people. I'll have to seriously consider whether there'll be a need for another 28-day extension, he told ABC Radio. At this stage, being the optimist, I'm thinking there won't be. So these are the people that told you that you would lock down. You would quarantine. You would do as you're told. These are the, and now it's a public health act. It says Commissioner Stevens invoked South Australia's emergency declaration on March 22, 2020. A 14-day declaration was extended to 28 days, a process which was taken place roughly every month since. The sort of powers they had, people. The declaration gave Commissioner Stevens the power to impose restrictions on public and private activities, including lockdowns and density limits. This is godlike powers, people. Now he says, or they say, what would change? The proposed legislative changes would allow South Australian Health to impose requirements on positive cases and close contacts. And what did she do to that poor 30-year-old when she pointed the bone at him and said, you broke quarantine rules? Then she had to apologise. What happens when she gets total power, people? So I'm not going to read any more, but she now has total powers. This is extremely dangerous. This is what we're facing. And that's why you will not forget her name straight away. She has not left the sinking COVID-19 ship, but she is now starting to virtually steer it, especially in South Australia. So moving on to the next story. And the stories get sillier. South Australia expecting worst ever mosquito season after increase in virus detection. You're going, what's that got to do with her? January the 11th, 2023. So we're getting almost up to date, people. Wait to hear this. An increase in mosquito-borne viruses. Remember about the encephalitis? Remember, I haven't forgotten about it. Bill Gates many years ago released mosquitoes into an unsuspecting Cairns population from the University of Queensland, which he funds. 30,000 of them, I think it was. Ever since then, he's been trying to figure out how to vector a virus, because really he's saying, oh, it was just stop malaria and that. Has he ever stopped malaria, people? No. He's trying to find ways to expand a virus. And what they did is they went into the mosquito population so that the male couldn't procreate. But what it's done is turned these things into vectors for diseases. They're like a flying syringe. So even though he's claiming to reduce the population, it's actually causing a different type of species, and that's what's happening. So you've got to keep your eye on this, because it's going to be another thing that's going to affect people. And remember, he was the guy that said, oh, I'll get rid of malaria, and he's the next guy who's pushing the pandemic vaccine, which is now starting to kill people, which people won't believe. But if they look at the statistics, something's wrong, people. You know, in Australia, we had 1,000 deaths right up till the jabbing started. Now we're up to how many? How many deaths now have we had in Australia since the pandemic? Over 20,000 since the jabbing. And actually, I just went to worlddominant.info and it's actually up to nearly 24,000 deaths, people. So this is where they said, if you got the jab, no matter how many jabs you got, you'll be fine. You can go back to normal. Well, guess what? The death rate is still climbing. People are still dying. They're all jabbed up many times. And of course, they can't say it's the unvaxxed all the time, because the fact is there's too many people that are jabbed now. So the statistics for the deaths are going to be more of the jabbed. And the fact is, the fact that they've been jabbing people are still dying. So it's not working. And they're saying, oh, it's the variant. They can say whatever they like, people. The facts are people are still dying. What they did not work. So it should stop. They need natural immunity to stop this thing in its tracks. But that's what they don't want. That's a story for another day. But it's a continuing story. This is the new one again, the mosquitoes. So I'm going back to that. It says an increase in the mosquito-borne virus has been detected in South Australia, prompting a warning from health authorities to take precautions across the state, especially along the River Murray. Remember, she's got those powers now. Remember, she's got very, very, very strong powers here, Nicola Spurrier. It says there are 5 mosquito-borne viruses currently active in the state, including the most common Ross River virus, the Burma or the Barma forest virus, as well as Japanese encephalitis, Murray Valley encephalitis, and the West Nile virus. South Australian Chief Public Health Officer Nicola Spirier said a combination of weather elements. You're going to freak when I get to the real one, people. You're going to go, what? A combination of weather elements and the introduction of Japanese encephalitis last year. Wonder how that got there. Could create the worst season the state has ever had. Oh, that's a classic. And it says, Spurrier said there had been an increase in the Ross River and Barmah Forest viruses in their mosquito detection trapping. So now she's, what do they call them, an infection specialist as well now, people. We have the water, the flooding, funny that, the cold spring, the wet spring, and now a hot summer. We are seeing those mosquito populations really booming. We now have 28 detects, and previously for the whole of the last season, we only had 3. The government is pushing South Australians, especially those in the Riverland, to protect themselves from being bitten by covering up and using mosquito repellent containing DEET or lemon eucalyptus oil on any uncovered areas. Don't just dab it on like you're using cologne. You'll have to cover all of your skin surfaces, Spurrier said. It's like sunblock. If you leave an area, the mosquito will come. And it says, because you haven't covered up the smell of the skin. Sounds like a vampire, doesn't it, people? She also, I wonder if she's a mosquito. She also suggested removing any excess water from around the house using... So now she's the expert on... I can't read anymore. This person wants godlike powers. I'm not going to read any more of that story, but you can see where it was going. Going to ridiculous areas. Here's another one. This is from the God of South Australia. February the 20th, 2023. Unvaxxed 5 times more likely to die of COVID. It's got unvaccinated people are 5 times more likely to die if they contract COVID-19 than those who are fully vaccinated. So what's fully vaccinated, people? The analysis by the Australian Health and Medical Research Institute found unvaccinated people are also 8 times more likely to be hospitalised than those who are with up-to-date vaccinations. What's up-to-date vaccinations? Researchers studied 70,000 South Australians' COVID-19 cases between the 1st of August 2022, they should have done it from before that when there was less people dying of it, and October the 31st, 2022. So they did, 2 months? Their study went for 8 weeks, finding those who are partially vaccinated against COVID-19 with just 1 or 2 doses were 3 times more likely to be hospitalised and 2 times more likely to die than those who are fully vaccinated. What's fully vaccinated? Older age was found to be an independent risk factor for death and hospitalisation. COVID-19 with each vaccine dose gradually lowering the chance of death. So that more chap, you won't die at all if you've had 50 shots. I'm just seeing where she is in this article because for some reason her name's come up with this article and I'll just see where it is before I read on. And here it is at the end of the article. It says, they're talking about the 5th shot, by the way, people. It says, the reason the findings come ahead of a national rollout of the 5th COVID-19 vaccine. From today, Australians aged 18 and over who have not had a virus or a booster dose in the past 6 months are eligible. The 5th dose, which is available at GPs and pharmacists, includes protection against the original COVID-19 strain, along with the Omicron variant, was previously restricted to adults. They haven't been able to stop it. Health authorities particularly recommend a 5th dose for those over age 65. Of course, they're the ones with comorbidities that will probably die quicker. Those with medical comorbidities or those with a disability or complex health needs are the very ones they want to kill, you know, people. Chief Public Health Officer Professor. She's getting a longer title. Chief Public Health Officer Professor. Nicola Spirier, should have got in there somewhere, told ABC Radio Adelaide this morning that she was worried that people were becoming complacent with COVID-19 vaccinations. They might have had COVID in the past and they think, well, it wasn't that bad. That's exactly what I said. But we know the virus evolves, she said. That's one of the good things about the mRNA vaccines. You can change the variant quite quickly so you can update your vaccine. What? Pfizer has done exactly that, she says. Gee, I don't believe this. South Australian Health on Friday reported 1,720 new COVID-19 cases over the last week, up from 1,495 the week prior. It says, as of 11:59 p.m. on Thursday, the February the 16th, there were 42 infectious people in hospital. This isn't crazy, people, isn't it? It's just they just won't stop, will they, people, till everyone's jabbed 100 times and still dying, especially the ones with comorbidities and the sick and dying and the disabled, and they just want to kill them all. I mean, it's very obvious to me. Anyway, moving on to the next story. Now, this one's a doozy. This is from glamadelaide.com.au. So that's very interesting, the title itself. November the 13th, 2023, but the headline is not so glamorous. SA COVID-19 cases surged by 50% in just 1 week, prompting health officials to issue warning. As South Australia confronts a significant surge in COVID-19 cases, Health Minister Chris Picton is calling on the community to take proactive measures to shield the most vulnerable. The state has witnessed a startling 50% increase in COVID-19 cases in just 1 week, coinciding with the onset of the end-of-year celebrations. So they were blaming all the people having a party, you know, the new year. Oh, they all got together, so that's why it's increased. So don't party. The latest figures released on Friday reveal a jump to 2,500 weekly cases from 1,600 the previous week, a stark contrast to the 546 cases recorded in the last week of August. That's 6 months ago. And that was in winter. So it doesn't really matter when you get COVID. It's not a flu, even though they keep saying it's like a flu. Despite the rise, hospital admissions have remained stable. Okay, that's right. Everything's going smoothly, people. Minister Picton emphasised the importance of vaccination, especially for high-risk groups such as the elderly. They can get rid of those quicker. Those with chronic illness, of course, or individuals with compromised immune system, definitely. With South Australia experiencing a COVID-19 wave as we head into the festive season, we are asking people to take sensible steps to protect themselves. He urged those eligible, particularly old individuals and those living in aged care facilities, to get booster shots. It's just like telling yourself to get bumped off, people. And it says, I'm seeing if there's anything about her in there, because that's really what I'm looking for. No, it's quite a long article. I'm not going to go right into it. But, there it is. Chief Public Health Officer Professor Nicola Spiria highlighted the community's role in mitigating the impact of the virus. As South Australians, we have the tools to reduce the impact of the current wave and to protect those we love from severe illness and hot air from COVID-19, she said. Spiria strongly recommended booster doses for family members in aged care, of course, because they don't have a say, or who haven't had a vaccination of COVID-19 infection in the last 6 months. And it goes on. I'm not going to read any more, but they just want you to continue to become a pincushion, even now, people, even now. Now, I'm going to let Sky News do the next 4 minutes, people, because it's on her and it's brilliant. It's better than the whole half an hour or whatever I've done on her. This just about sums her up in 4 minutes. It's brilliant. As the Nutty Professor, it's a guy called Chris Kenny from Sky News Australia. I'll just let him talk and you listen to this, because she buries herself, people. But this is a person with complete power in South Australia at the moment, all right? This is very dangerous. It's a COVID rat that has not jumped ship. She's just swimming in her godlike powers at the moment. So I'll let this guy tell you who she is, and we will never, ever forget. And by the way, people, if you look at her LinkedIn, just quickly before I play the clip, it's got licenses and certifications. And she started out as a Bachelor of Medicine, right, in 1990, then went on to the Australasian College of Physicians, and you go, okay, 96. And then a graduate diploma in epidemiology, which is why she loves mosquitoes. And in 1990, she was a doctor of philosophy. So here she goes with all those accolades to tell you what you can and can't do. And I give to you the Nutty Professor.
Just another word on the absolutely comical preoccupations of our political class in this country. These are the people, the politicians, the bureaucrats and other authorities, of course, who were happy to implement a virtual police state in response to the COVID-19 virus, but who seem to be struck dumb and impotent in the face of Islamist fanatics chanting death to Jews. They love to strike a tone of panic and crisis on some things like COVID and climate change, while they pretend away deeply serious problems like ancient enmities and prejudices that threaten people and tear our peaceful society apart. And into this mix, let me remind you about the South Australian chief medical bureaucrat, Professor Nicola Spurrier. You remember her. She's the nutty professor who locked down her whole state because she thought people were catching COVID from pizza boxes. Locking down the state and closing its borders when confronted with just a handful of cases. And, of course, panicking over footies.
If you are at Adelaide Oval and the ball comes towards you, my advice to you is to duck and just do not touch that ball. Whenever a ball comes towards me, whatever sort of ball, whether it's a basketball or a football, my inclination is to duck. Regardless of COVID, this ball has been touched by many sweaty men out there on the field. Just go and sanitise your hands before you start eating your chips.
Well, she's gone from balls to the big sphere in space, our planet. Spurrier has issued her regular report on the state of public health in her state, and she's pretty keen to maintain the sense of crisis. Indeed, she talks about perma-crisis, and her agent of panic this time is climate change. I kid you not. In this report, she says, climate change is the most significant global threat to human health. The planet is getting hotter and is experiencing more extreme weather events such as flooding and bushfire. This is being seen in South Australia, Australia and internationally, and we need to respond to this threat today, not tomorrow or in the distant future. This stuff is alarmist, it's hysterical and it's unscientific. It could have been uttered by King Charles III or Greta Thunberg. So what is it doing in a public health report, you ask? Well, Spurrier says climate change is the most significant threat to global health. Well, I suppose if we're all going to drown in boiling oceans, that's pretty bad for your health. She goes on to say that with the changing climate, there are more disasters and events occurring simultaneously and back to back. The term permacrisis reflects the possibility that our communities could remain in a state of crisis due to the rapidity, frequency, and number of these events. Professor Spurrier is the very embodiment of permacrisis. She is frightening kids, even though the statistics show no definitive increase in these natural disasters. But luckily, the one tool that Spurrier has in her public health toolbox will work for climate change too. Lock us down, Professor. Lock down your state. Lock down the country. Shut the borders. Lock down the world. That will reduce emissions dramatically. That will solve your permacrisis. Let's have permanent lockdown instead of a permacrisis. That way there won't be any footies to worry about either. Lock everyone again. Lock them down again, Professor. Panic them over climate change this time. Generate fear about the planet and lock them all down.
Couldn't have said it better. Now, what's really interesting, there was a PDF I found online when I was searching about stuff for her, especially the climate change stuff, and I found this, people, very interesting. It's from, I think it's Phoebe. I think that's how you say the name. Phoebe Spurrier, who's actually the daughter of Nicola Spurrier. I'll just grab that one sec. So it's called Reframing Climate Change Through a Public Health Lens. This is the daughter. Australian National Internships Program. Report prepared for the Conservation Council ACT region, Phoebe Spurrier, and it says, and it just goes on again about, it goes on about climate change, and the report explores the health and well-being of people and the environment in the Australian Capital Territory. Climate change poses a significant risk to the health of the land. This is the land of the Ngunnawal people whose sovereignty was never ceded. I pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging. I recognise the continuing connection to the land, sea and community of the First Nations people across Australia and in the Ngunnawal Canberra region where this report was researched and written. Now, it goes on about all that, climate change, the Aboriginals, and when you get to the end, it says, finally, I would like to thank my mum, Nicola Spurrier, and nutty professor, whose work in public health has inspired me to pursue the field of research throughout my university studies. End of story. Okay, next, cab off the rank for the COVID rats of Oz is the Premier of the Australian Capital Territory, Andrew Barr. So I'm just going to his, that's right, Jimmy Wales is going to help me with his Wikipedia. So I'm just going to go, I'm not going to go straight into his career and all that. But I'm just going to see if he's still, yes, it still says it here. He's born in Lismore. Ah, not really from the ACT at all. It says age 50. So not an older guy, still pretty much amongst it. And it says here, although if you look at him, it looks like he's been through the mill a bit. But it says here, I'm just going to go to the COVID stuff. Oh, well, there's another one here in his Wikipedia. It says environment and climate change. Now, we need to know that these guys are getting their bags of gold and doing their job. Barr's government has continued its predecessor's environment and climate change policies, including reducing carbon emissions and increasing the use of renewable energy. Under its climate change strategy, the ACT government has a target of reducing emissions by 60% by 2025. Well, he's only got 1 year, people. And zero net emissions by 2045. He'll probably be long gone, or will he? In May 2019, the ACT joined other jurisdictions around the world in declaring a state of climate emergency and called for urgent action to address climate change. And it says in September 2019, the ACT government announced it would be the first major jurisdiction outside of the European Union to achieve net zero greenhouse gas emissions electricity supply with the commencement of the energy offtake agreement with Hornsdale Wind Farm. It'd be blowing hot air across their bow. And it says Barr is a strong supporter of same-sex marriage and LGBTI rights, voting in favour of anti-discrimination law reform, civil unions and same-sex marriage laws. His government has continued to champion measures to remove discrimination and promote inclusion of LGBTI communities. And on it goes, people. And it says, personal life. Barr was married to his longtime partner, Anthony Toms, in 2019. He's the first leader of an Australian state or territory government to marry someone of the same sex. There you go, people. Now getting back to, I didn't see anything about COVID. I've just realised that now. I've actually scrolled straight through it and there's actually nothing. I'm actually surprised. Oh, well, we'll have to dive straight into what they didn't bother putting in the Wikipedia. Okay, let's start now. And just as I was about to start now, I saw something in his Wikipedia. This is extremely interesting, people. As of December 2023, Barr is the longest-serving incumbent state or territory leader in Australia and the last remaining state or territory leader since the commencement of the COVID-19 pandemic in Australia in March 2020. The longest, last remaining. There you go, people. Says it all. We'll wait and see what he has to do in the future when pandemic 2 hits. Rest assured, he's probably still going to be there, people. But there you go. The longest serving leader in Australia during the COVID-19 pandemic. The rest got out, people. All of them. That's incredible. All of them. There's only a few of the medical staff left and maybe a couple of other smaller minion of the minions. But the big guys that took the bags of gold and ran, gone. And just for the record, I looked at his LinkedIn to see if there was anything I could equate to the future of the ACT in Australia. And he is a big proponent of electric vehicles, people. He is like so many stories in his LinkedIn, all about electric cars. So it says in one of the ones that he liked, Canberra is leading the charge in the uptake of zero and low emission vehicles. In 2023, over 17% of all new registered vehicles were, you know, the electric vehicles, the EVs. So he's pushing that. He really likes them. And so expect him to push the same narratives that the globalists want anyway, with no difference. He's also aligning himself to the Green Party. So you can see that straight away, it's just going to go forward from that point, as long as he stays there. But this is a guy ready for pandemic two. That's my point. So rather than go through the whole sordid past of the Andrew Barr affair, because it seems that all the articles I read were all about him, and how he has changed Canberra into this fantastic metropolis, which from all the comments I read to those stories was completely the opposite. But that's how politics is. It's sort of like you're in a tiny little fishbowl and you look out, everything looks great. But on the outside, looking in, anyway, we'll see. we'll see how long he lasts. He's really trying to beat a record of another politician that lasted 10 years. So he's trying to beat the record. So we'll see if the Canberrans have snapped out of their trance and realise that the pothole on the road is still there. So this story, and I'll take it right to the up-to-date time, 11th of December 2023. It's from news.com.au. ACT Chief Minister Andrew Barr declares he is energised and ready to go for 2024. And it says, the nation's final COVID-19 era leader has declared he is energised and ready to go following Anastasia Palaszczuk's shock resignation on Sunday. Announcing a surprise reshuffle of his cabinet on Monday, ACT's Chief Minister Andrew Barr said that the past 2 years have been a difficult time for everyone and pressed that he was motivated to hold on to the torch as Australia's last remaining pandemic leader. So he's actually proud of it, people. He'd do it all again. He says that was a very difficult period and many people have left for a variety of reasons. I can tell you death threats is one of them, people. Some were voted out and others have retired, Mr. Barr said. Don't mention the real reasons. I remain focused on the job I've got to do. And I was clear last year when there was a change of government at a federal level that I felt that gave a real opportunity to achieve some things in the ACT. It's the guy's aligned to the Greens. That's why he's still there, people. It says news of Mr. Barr's cabinet reboot came less than 24 hours after Ms. Palaszczuk's surprise exit on Monday, which followed in the footsteps of a sudden resignation of the fellow Labor premiers Daniel Andrews in Victoria and Mark McGowan in Western Australia, because they all got their bags of gold, people. They've walked because they did what they were supposed to do and now they're going to try and escape. Not going to let that happen, people. Queensland's Labor Party will now begin the process of electing a new candidate for the state's next premier, which has obviously already happened. Mr. Barr said Ms. Palaszczuk was a very passionate leader and said she had achieved remarkable wins during her 9 years in power. So you can see he's the same. He wants to be 10 years in power. He says she was always very clear about putting the interests of her state first, and I respect that. Well, he puts his interests of the state, of territory first, apparently. I don't know if there's any more in it. No, yes, there is. Reaffirming his intentions to keep his top job following next year's general election, Mr. Barr said health, infrastructure and cost of living would be among his government's top priorities. And they've actually got a picture of him here. And he's wearing the Yes T-shirt, you know, for the when they had the vote, the Yes vote or the No vote. He's got the Yes vote on his shirt. Well, that didn't happen, did it, Mr. Barr? But anyway, in reading on, that's because he's got a push with the Greens, you say. It says, where is it? Oh, I like this part. You really like this bit when I say this. It says, he's also pressed his focus to pass the territory's progressive assisted dying legislation. Because he's right for it, people. He can't wait to get rid of Granny. He said, which he said could not have happened without Anthony Albanese's election win in 2022. So that's how he got to do that. Mr. Barr said Mr. Albanese's victory was a shot in the arm. He needed to continue after a difficult pandemic period. What a thing to say to people. And this is what he says. At this point, I am the most experienced of all the state and territory leaders, Mr. Barr said. It's like, ugh, already that statement, people. I think the real benefit for the ACT, and it's probably in brackets me, because often we are small and our voice can sometimes not be heard in the national forum. You're in the national territory, buddy. That's where your politician buddies live. What's he talking about? As the most experienced member of the national cabinet, there he goes again, I will make sure Canberra's needs are put on the national agenda. Let's hope he doesn't get the 10 years, people. Let's see if the Canberrans snap out of their trance of being more afraid of the Liberals. That seems to be the only consensus of why he's there. So he's got a list of all his cabinet people he's reshuffled, and there's something interesting in this too, people. He's got, this is him, Andrew Barr, Chief Minister, Treasurer, and then it says Minister for Climate Action. And you go, okay, so he's taken the reins for climate action because obviously the Greens, he's got to keep the Greens on side or he'll get voted out. But then it goes down to this person called Emma Davison, and I did read a little bit more about her, but anyway, it says Minister for Population Health. And that got me worried because that's a new portfolio. It's been created by Andrew Barr for her. And I thought to myself, population health. Okay, now What would that entail? Wouldn't that be the health minister? Because they've already got a health minister. And I thought to myself, Rachel Stephen-Smith is the Minister for Health. Okay, so I thought, why would they have a population health minister as well? So I thought I might look that up. One sec. So the portfolio is for a government official called Emma Davidson. When I look her up for the ACT, she's actually a member of the Greens Party. And they've given her a portfolio called Population Health. So I'm still digging into that because there's nothing on the Greens site that goes to population health. So I still don't understand what that position is, but let me keep looking. Okay, I found a story from 5 days ago about the Population Health Minister Emma Davidson. So now we find out what her role really is. ACT Minister for Population Health Emma Davidson is reminding the community to stay vigilant and COVID smart as case numbers and hospitalisations rise across Australia. This is from miragenews.com. And it says, community transmission of COVID-19 is here to stay. Funny that. And we expect to see rises and falls in case numbers as Canberrians return to school and work due to emerging variants, of course, waning immunity, definitely, and social behaviour, Minister Davidson said. While the cases of COVID-19 in the ACT have been decreasing since a peak of cases in mid-November, we have seen increases in parts of the country. We know some people are impacted by COVID-19 more than others. Funny that. So stay kind to one another and be caring to the concerns and needs of others by continuing to practice COVID smart behaviours. And I thought, what's a COVID smart behaviour? COVID smart behaviours reduce the risk of catching and spreading COVID-19 and other infectious respiratory viruses like influenza. So what do you have to do to stop that, people? Well, stay up to date with vaccinations. Vaccination remains the best protection from serious illness and hospitalisation. So there's your population health, people. It says stay at home if you're unwell. Use rapid antigen tests for COVID-19, even if the test is negative. Remain at home until you feel better. Consider wearing a mask. Jeez. Sounds like an attack dog for the ACT. I'm not reading anymore, but that's what population health is, people. COVID-19 awareness. Who'd have thought? So it sounds to me that Andrew Barr has set himself up with a few other people. I'm not going to look at the rest of their ministry, but you can see what's coming. They're setting up all their little ministries all around the country, getting ready for the next pandemic. So we're going to have a whole set of new people that we'll have to throw the eggs and tomatoes at. But I've got a sneaking suspicion if the pandemic 2 comes, most, if not all, will conform. There'll only be the few like myself and others that will hold the line with our common sense, which is not common anymore, people, as you know. But if you're listening to this, try and think of a way to get around that issue when it comes. I mean, I remember at the time when it hit and everyone was QR coding, I had an old iPhone that didn't actually, it wasn't set up for QR coding and I didn't want it to be. And the update never came where it had the COVID signal on it, where it would tell you what to do, the little app that came with the update. So I never got that update, so I never had to QR code, which I actually have never QR coded. So just to let you know that that was one way around it that worked. But in the long run, it didn't work for me because there were people at the particular employment I was at that didn't want people there that had not had the COVID vaccination. I've since heard recently from that place I was at that the people that enforced that have now left. And I'm thinking, wow, it's not just the COVID rats of Oz that run from the ship. They're all over the place. The minions are everywhere. People have suddenly realised that they are the reason people's lives were turned upside down and they have made themselves into targets. So a lot of those people are running and they will continue to run. But at the same time, you need to fight back, people. You need to stand your ground because if no one does, we all fail. Okay, so even though the next pandemic is going to be more difficult, you still have to hold your ground, all right, because we can still get through it again. I mean, I got through unscathed and I only caught COVID once and got over it. It is possible. It is sad when people don't make it through, okay? But that's what the globalists want. So if you want to fight through, you've got to hold the line, people. You've got to make sure that you set an example. You don't have to go out and preach to people. It's the worst thing you can do is go out there and point fingers. It does solves nothing. You set an example. You show how you live, and other people will follow. They will think, well, you can do it, I can do it. Okay, so it's not a competition. There's no, we're not fighting a war here. We're trying to exist without that sort of conflict. That's the whole point, all right? And you'll get these people that are psychopaths and want power, that love pushing people around. And they're never going to go away. They'll always be there. They just have a little bit more power than normal now because they're funded by other psychopaths, which has even more money, which are the globalists. So they're gathering their forces, people. It's a bit like Helm's Deep in Lord of the Rings or Mordor. They're gathering their forces, and you just got to stand your ground, people. We will win. Common sense will win. It does always, okay? But at the moment, people are sidetracked. They're diverted. You know, there's a lot of diversional stories at the moment all around the world. We've got Ukraine now. You've got Israel. You've got all these things that have always been there. There's always been these diversional tactics and these smaller wars to keep people watching, even the bigger wars, to take your eye off the ball. But this time we can't, because this is probably the last time we're going to get to do this, all right? They're probably making their move now over more than 100 years. They are really making their move. They're not hiding anymore, okay? They're bringing it out in the open. They're blaming the populations for the climate changing, even though it always has and it always will. They're using their weather weapons to push these sort of theories that the weather's gone mad and we've created it. You can see where this is heading. They're even blaming the energy we use by saying that it's polluting. So everything that we've built over the hundreds of years to get to this point from the Industrial Revolution, they're going to unwind it all, including plastic and all that sort of stuff that was invented. It's destroying the world, they say. So everything has to be wound back to the caveman days. Now, this reminds me of a movie called Planet of the Apes, or the actual show, where they actually rewound Earth back to the ape stage, where the people on the planet were apes. And you can see how that show was, where they forbade you to go to the forbidden zone, where people could work out what actually had happened in the past. Because, spoiler alert, the actor in it, Charlton Heston, goes back. He's an astronaut. He thinks he's on another planet with his other astronauts when they crash land, but they've actually gone back. They've actually gone in forward in time or something like that. I can't remember the movie. When he's actually on Earth and he doesn't know it, and then he sees the Statue of Liberty sticking halfway out of the sand, and that gives you the clue for the rest of the show that you realise you are on Earth, and they've regressed back to the Stone Age, but with intelligence, but just living very humbly. But they're ruled by, you know, the dictatorship of knowledge that won't let them progress past that point. So it's a bit like the Garden of Eden, where don't step out of this garden or else you're in trouble. Don't bite the apple. And that's the theme of the movie. But really, the idea is that's what they want to turn us back into. They want to put us back in the supposed Garden of Eden and have the apple dangling from the tree and say, don't eat that apple. And that's it. Simple as that, people. So we're back to square one and back to Genesis. But really, it's not going to be as nice as that, because they're going to get rid of a lot of people before we even get to that point. So that's my point, is that it's not really Genesis. It's more of a genocide of the population of the planet. And this is the process where they're trying to wean out who they don't want. This is what the QR coding will all be about. Who are the agitators? China's already moved to do that by imprisoning millions of people that are just from a different religion. I mean, that was done in World War II, where they exterminated. Chinese aren't quite blatant about it. They want to hide it all, just like the Germans did in World War II. And they've got them living in one of the remotest deserts places on Earth, which is Xinjiang. And it's not a good place, but that's where they've held them all up and re-educate them as Chinese, even though they're not Chinese. They're actually from East Turkestan, which is a totally different country. They actually look more Mongolian Russian than they do Chinese, if you ever get a look at them. And they're Muslim. Nothing to do with the Chinese. But the Chinese have captured them all, taken over their land and imprisoned them all. So, and the world has turned a blind eye to that, but there you go. That's how the world works. So this is what the globalists want. They want to use the Chinese to do the same thing to the rest of the world, to use them as a military police, in a sense, and they would do the job very well because they're not hampered by religion or anything like that, and they do exactly as they're told, as they always have done. So it'll be very interesting to see if the globalists can even pull half of this off, but they're going to have a shot at it. That's why you got to stand your ground. Quite simple, people. You just got to make sure that you set the example. That's all you got to do. You don't have to preach to anybody. If people see how you are and it's working, they will follow. Okay, that's all you have to do. You don't have to go out there. I do the podcast simply to get information out. I'm not preaching at anyone to do anything or say anything. It's up to the individual to make their mind up. If they think this what I say is wrong, that's fine. But as I said, leading by example is really the best way to do this. And obviously information and knowledge and, you know, wanting to know an alternative reality to what the press tube media gives you is a balanced way to figure it out as well. Okay, it's not rocket science. People know what's good and what's bad. Okay, it's just that people now are, you know, as I said, the moniker now is don't get caught. Everyone seems to be part of that whole thing. Not everybody, but the majority. And we need to change that way of thinking. You need to be held accountable for your actions. It's really just as simple as that. If people think they can't be done for something, they will continue to do it. All right, so I don't know, people. I'll continue saying what I say as long as I can. Until they, I don't know, until they stop me. But I don't know how they're going to do that. But if they try to, I will keep trying to get the message out every single week for as long as I can. Anyway, people, I'm at the end of the podcast. This is the Conspiracy Oz podcast for Friday, the 26th of January, 2024. Thanks for listening. Over and out.